This is the Safety Scouting Report with your host, Scott Cafe. Welcome into the Safety Scouting Report Toolbox Talks for safety professionals. My name is Scott Cafe. I'm your host here on Episode 5. We're going to talk about exposure to temperature extremes. This is part of our Hazards and Hazard Identification 101 series, and exposure to temperature extremes can mean a couple different things. It can be the temperature outside, the ambient temperature at a work site. It can be surface temperatures on equipment, materials, things like that, that we're dealing with at whatever job site we're at. So some key facts. There is no OSHA standard for temperature extremes hazards, either atmospheric and ambient or surface temperatures. So there's no real guideline there, except this kind of falls into that category of you know it when you see it, and there's always the old standby, the general duty standard. Temperature extremes are a known hazard, so we have to be wary about how we handle these things. OSHA is working toward an ambient temperature-related standard to protect workers. We'll leave that for now. It's still in the commentary stages, I believe, as I record this. Instead, we're going to focus on generalities for hazard identification, because that's the biggest thing we're worried about, finding the potential problems and mitigating or abating them so that the people that we're serving don't get hurt, right? So there is a key consensus standard that I always refer back to, and it is ASTM C1055. I'll say that again in case you want to take notes. ASTM C1055, which is the standard guide for heated system surface conditions that produce contact burn injuries. I like this consensus standard because it gives some really basic information right up front and levels to work from. Recommends that any surface temperatures remain at or below 140 degrees Fahrenheit or 60 degrees Celsius. The reason for that is the average person can touch about 140 degrees Fahrenheit, 60 degrees Celsius surface for up to 5 seconds without sustaining irreversible burn damage. So that initial contact, it's hot, you pull away, you're probably not going to suffer severe injury at that point, at that 140 degree Fahrenheit level, 60 degrees Celsius level. And just so you know, some other basic facts. Human skin can sustain first-degree burns at about 118 degrees Fahrenheit, 48 degrees Celsius. Second-degree burn can occur at about 131 degrees Fahrenheit, 55 degrees Celsius. Human skin and tissue can be destroyed at about 162 degrees Fahrenheit, 72 degrees Celsius. So when you think about that, we're talking about equipment like ovens, heat-treating equipment, drive systems can get that hot. Engines can obviously get that hot. Chemical reactors, vats, things of that nature, pipes, steam equipment can get that hot. Cleaning equipment can obviously get that hot. And it doesn't have to be a certain source. It can be chemical reactions. It can be engines. It can be material that's being worked. Plastic injection molding machines. Obviously, the material and the equipment gets hot. It's something that really touches almost every industry. And you can go the other way too. If you work in a blast freezer, is PPE a thing that you have to be worried about? Obviously. We're talking more about heat here, mainly because I'm recording this in July and heat-related illness is a severe issue. It can be a major hazard, not just in the construction industry. If you are working at a facility that does heat treating, tempering, that kind of thing, the inside temperatures, you have to take into account what's going on outside, and it's additive to the temperature, the ambient heat that's you're dealing with on the inside as well. I mentioned burns a minute ago. A lot of people don't understand or haven't been exposed to what those levels of burns mean. So I pulled this in with some notes. First degree burns. And again, this goes back to about 118 degrees Fahrenheit, 48 degrees Celsius. First-degree burns affect only the epidermis, or the outer layer of skin. Pain, redness, warmth, they usually don't blister. A mild sunburn is an example of a first-degree burn. Seriously. Second-degree burns, that's where you talk about affecting the epidermis and part of the dermis, or the lower layer of skin, and cause pain, redness, swelling. Blistering will appear red and blistered, and that's at, we talked about temperatures before from the ASTM C1055, 131 degrees Fahrenheit to 55 degrees Celsius. Third degree or full thickness burns affect all three layers of skin, including the epidermis, dermis, and the fat below the skin. These cause white, blackened, or red burned skin, may appear leathery, the skin may be numb, can also destroy hair follicles and sweat glands and damage nerve endings, so you probably won't feel pain in the burn itself, but you will feel it nearby. And that's why any burn that you or one of the folks that you are taking care of at your job site incurs, get medical treatment, get it looked at just in case to make sure that the treatment that is given is proper. And of course, rely on your first responders, your trained first response team. That third degree burn, again, 162 degrees Fahrenheit, 72 degrees Celsius is about where that gets caused. So if you think about those temperatures in the low to mid 100 degrees in Fahrenheit and about 50 degrees to 75 degrees Celsius, and then if you do work at a site that uses ovens or does heat treating, and you've seen temperatures like 900 degrees Celsius, you understand just how extreme the temperature extremes can be that we're dealing with on a daily basis at some job sites. Now, when you also factor in ambient temperatures, the outside temperatures, the one thing that I always recommend to people is to download the OSHA NIOSH Heat app. If you go to your app store or wherever you get apps for your phone, just type in HEAT, H-E-A-T, and it'll probably be the first one that comes up. And it is one of the best safety and health tools out there going today, bar none. Because based on your site, wherever you're at, your current location, it will pull up the current temperature, and it will give you information on the levels, whether it's caution, warning, danger, or none of the above. It will contain your hourly prospects. It also has information on heat-related illness symptoms, first aid information, and don't forget, if you get this, it's based on the temperature outside. So you also have to worry about inside temperatures, and I recommend you get thermometers for your shop, warehouse, and create your own chart. Combine the National Weather Service's danger chart, and you can find that online, with yours so that you can determine when to allow workers to take extra breaks, and when to require them. Where I currently work, that's something we did. We took a look at the chart, we took a look at the potential hazards around our workplace, and we said, okay, this is where the caution area is based on National Weather Service and OSHA information. If we get a little bit above that, we're going to just say, hey, workers, you need extra time, you need extra breaks, you go do it. And that's kind of the way it is anyway. But we also have a danger level where if the temperature, the outside ambient temperature and the inside temperature, if we look at the thermometer inside and it gets to a certain range, we require our workers to take extra breaks, to drink, to get into the break room and cool off, because that's the only way you can make sure that you keep people safe. Always have water and shade available. And remember, a safe, cool, comfortable worker is also a much more efficient and effective worker. Safety pays in so many ways. And it's one of those things, it comes out a lot in ergonomics, but I think especially with exposure to temperature extremes and heat-related illness, that the more comfortable you can keep your team, not only are they safer, but they're also more effective. They're better at the job when they are taken care of. And keep this in mind, too, with regard to heat-related illness, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, all that different stuff. Remember to inform your employees. Even if it's a quick toolbox talk, talk about the symptoms. They're all listed on that heat app, or you can give handouts. But all those symptoms and things, they're important because of this. Typically, it's not the person that's suffering from the heat-related illness that is going to find out about it, figure it out, and come to you for help. It's usually a coworker that notices it and brings it to someone else's attention. So the more all of your workers know the symptoms and know what to look for, the better covered everybody is going to be. That'll do it for this Safety Scouting Report. My name's Scott Kafe. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll catch you next time.
So good as I'm choking.